This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Washington, D.C. is under a tornado watch right now and has essentially shut down ahead of strong storms. Weather Channel meteorologist Jen Carfagno.
Things are going to change in a big way throughout the entire Northeast Corridor with storms that come crashing in, the thunder, the lightning, also the risk for strong damaging winds, and even an isolated tornado risk. We've got a dual threat today across a big chunk of the eastern half of the country.
In the south, the intense heat is back. KTVT TV's chief meteorologist Scott Padgett's in Dallas.
Those feels like temperatures 103 to 112. Critical fire threat expanded now to include the Metroplex. Fires can ignite quickly and spread quickly.
Three people died when firefighting helicopters crashed near Los Angeles. Major League Baseball just issued suspensions for that big brawl that cleared benches in Cleveland this weekend.
Oh my goodness, here come the benches, off we go.
That play-by-play on NBC Sports Chicago, White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson has been benched now for 6 games. Guardians third baseman Jose Ramirez will miss 3 games. Both team managers got 1-game suspensions, and some players now face fines. Former Minneapolis cop Tu Tao got another 5 years in prison for his role in George Floyd's death.
I did not commit these crimes. My conscience is clear.
But a judge says he was negligent for standing by and watching Floyd die. Floyd's girlfriend, Courtney Ross.
I had a particular disdain for Tu Tao, that he wasn't claiming any responsibility for the way he spoke to the crowd that day and stopped anyone from helping Floyd.
Former President Trump's attorneys have another hour to respond to a request for a protective order limiting Trump on what he can say about his latest indictment. Here's CBS's Nicole Killian.
They want to be careful about the type of information that is shared with the former president and his legal team. They don't want that improperly disseminated, and they're concerned based on some of these posts that the former president has made, posting something to the effect of, they're coming after me, so I'm going to come after you.
Trump's also been touting those indictments as accomplishments. The Associated Press reports Exorcist director William Friedkin has died at 87. He was best known for directing the horror film, but also the Oscar-winning film, The French Connection. And we are standing by for Tory Lanez sentencing in L.A., where he faces more than a decade in prison for shooting Megan Thee Stallion in the foot back in 2020. The rapper was convicted in December of 3 felonies, including assault. He's been in jail ever since. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This works.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. This morning, hearings begin as a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried in his adult or if the case will be moved to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence if he's convicted, as well as 2 counts of sexual assault. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled last month that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed, but did not decide whether prosecutors would be limited only to information in the criminal complaint filed with the charges. Peters was found dead in the woods near her home on April 25, 2022. Hearings are scheduled to go into next week in the case. The bodies of 2 people were recovered in Barron County by officials after a man's body was seen in the water near a running pontoon Friday afternoon in Pacagama Lake near Chetek. The sheriff's office said the bodies of 59-year-old Scott Brumman of Chippewa Falls and 59-year-old Doug Robinson of Chetek were found about 5 hours apart. The Wisconsin DNR is investigating. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night, and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, back from up north there. Hey, it's Monday. It's back to the radio, back to politics, back to work. How you doing, little fella?
Hey, Crudy, I am doing great. Good to see you. Casper working hard on the board today. Thank you, man. Of course, our fair audience, happy Monday to us all.
You know, I meant to call you little guy. That's what the skipper used to call Gilligan, right? Little buddy.
Little buddy.
I meant to call you.
Little buddy.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the skipper these days.
Yeah, I saw, man. Yeah, you got yourself a little go boat, man.
I am the proud possessor of one boat. Never owned a boat before. Well, sort of. We had a boat. We had a paddle boat that came with the cabin, and it sailed off to sea. And we don't know where it went because we didn't have a boat to go around the lake and figure out where our paddle boat floated.
So you had a boat, but it ran away, and now you have another boat.
Yes. This one's better. This one's got a motor. Two motors. It's got a trolling motor, and it's got the motorboat motor.
Oh, nice. Let's
so even like in, CJ. As I figured out already on the second day of boat ownership, if you can't start the motor for any reason, just pop that trolling motor. You know,
yeah, that'll get you going.
Lake's only so large. I had to have my son drive it back. Had to meet him at the boat launch. You know what I'm really bad at? Backing up a trailer. Didn't know how unskilled I was until I tried it.
It is a skill
that I do not possess. And nearly drives you insane because the backup beeper's going the whole time I'm doing it. Lady that
you
sold
the camera,
me.
Though, right? Do you watch the camera or do you use your mirrors when you're doing the backup on the trailer thing? You don't even know.
Both.
You
I go insane.
Turn to the right, turn to the left. You don't even know, man. See, you should have worked on a farm when you were a kid.
Then I'd know how to back up a trailer, put a boat in water. Dude.
Absolutely.
I am so unskilled at all those things now. But, you know, I saw this boat on the Facebooks, and it was on the Facebook Marketplace. And, you know, I set a very low budget. You know, like, I want a boat, but I don't really want to pay for a boat. Don't want to. Certainly am not borrowing money to buy a boat. You know, it's a cash sort of deal.
Oh, break out another 1,000, Curdy.
So All you people throwing this BOAT at me, break out just, another.
You'll learn. You'll be there. You'll get it. You'll get it.
Here's the good news. We're on no wake lake, so you can't even go that fast. You can't burn up the gas too fast. And my son, who is a good young man, Caden, but doesn't have his driver's license. He was, captain of the high seas all weekend. I had some radio dogs out to the house. We were having a couple cocktails. And then Caden, he took us out around the lake. It was the proudest boat owning day of my life.
Captain Caden.
Captain Caden.
And those are the best, two best days of boat ownership. When you buy it and when you get rid of it. Those are the two greatest days.
Well, the best day was the day I bought it. Technically, the first day we put it in the water and we had a lot of fun. That was like Saturday, and then had a little party. You didn't come, but others did. And, had fun on the boat, and Caden took us all around the lake, little tour. But then Sunday, I had some business to attend to. Started my day in the Northwoods there, but I was up there doing business. So I had to pull the boat out. The boat has to come out. Yeah. So first I struggled getting the trailer back to the water, like 9 tries later, so 15 minutes.
Did you eventually just disconnect it from your vehicle and haul it back with your, manual labor? Or did you actually?
That would have been so much easier. It would have been, buddy, this long country road, narrow, covered with, trees. It's like a narrow passageway. I got like 2 feet on either side. Man, I can't do this. I was horrible at it. Yeah. So finally I get the boat back in the water. Caden's had a chance to cross the lake via trolling motor by this chance. So I get this thing back on the back of the trailer, and I start, turning the winch, and first time using the winch, first time pulling the water plug, first time, rocking the motor up, making sure it's in place to travel, I guess. I got an old style boat, 1976 or something, doesn't have the I am the labor on the lifting of the motor. So I learned that part, and I'm remembering all the parts. The guy was very helpful, loved his little boat. Green and gold, like Packer colors. I said, I love this boat. It's green and gold. And he said, well, it's green and white, and the white's kind of discolored a little from the water line. He said, you might be disappointed if you think it's green and gold. This is before I'd seen it. But once I saw it, I knew that boat would be mine. So bought the boat, pulled it on a trailer from Mauston, Wisconsin, up to our new cabin, which was about another hour's drive. Never saw so many deer in my life. Mauston, man, that place is filthy with deer. For good or for bad, hundreds. I mean, it was like herds of deer, man. It was like the deer apocalypse was coming there. Lots of deer. But I get the boat home, get it in the water, enjoy it for a day, have fun with a few friends, excluding you, and then got to get the boat out. And I get the winch, and there was one little thing. I'm like, what did the guy tell me about the winch? So I'm cranking it. And then I let go, and it goes back the other way, and it whacks me on the hand like a nun with a ruler, just smack. Oh, it hurts. Now I can't hear Dom. What happened to Dom?
The lessons. These are the lessons that you will learn.
I learned that lesson, and apparently there's a little metal brace so it can't go backwards. You got to utilize that when you're doing this thing. So now I've got, a swollen hand. Throbbing, good and throbbing. You know how you're alive when you got that new boat hand throb? That way... Yeah.
Yeah. Not like some sharp pain to remind you're still alive, man.
So anyways, I get the boat back to the house, and I realize, I'm not hauling this thing back and forth to Madison, so I'm going to leave it in the garage. Well, when you take the tongue off, when you take this trailer off, apparently the boat's heavier and will rock backwards. You got to sit there and hold it down. Well, so I'm trying to pull the boat, and it's like damn near lifting me off the ground a couple times. And my wife and my son are just watching me. And you know how Crudy gets a little frustrated occasionally. Let my emotions get the better of me. I'm like, will someone help me? I'm pulling a boat here.
I'm not clear. You're trying to get the pin off the back? I mean, what were you?
No, I had already done that. I had taken the.
Okay.
So now I'm tugging the boat into the garage. because I'm not putting a cover on the damn thing. That seems like work.
Did you just back it in the garage?
Well, others, a better man could. But I was personally delivering the boat yes. into the garage. I felt it was a necessary step. And so, anyways, got the boat in the garage. Found a heavy weighted table that would hold the boat down necessarily. And I have a project in mind, Dom. I looked it up. You can paint a fiberglass boat. So it is green. And the inside seats, oh, they're a lovely shade of like vinyl green. Think Packer green. So this boat will be my Jordan Love boat. And my wife already bought, like a Packer gnome. So the Packer gnome's like in the prow, the front of the boat. What do they call the front of the boat?
The bow?
The bow. Yeah, whatever it is. The front where, you know, like the Rolls Royce has the woman up in the front. We have the Packer gnome. So after I get done using the boat infrequently this year, because I'll have to back it into the water to be able to use it. And that is a skill set I very much lack for. But, you know, unless I personally deliver the boat, you know, like walk it down the trail every time, that'd probably be less effort. This winter, my commitment to you, Dom, I'm decorating that boat in green and gold, and I'm painting on the side, Jordan Love Boat. And that will be Crudy's pride in 1976 boat.
Is there room on, I know it's a little smaller boat. Is there room on the back? You can actually, is it named right now? Is there a spot?
Well, I mean, there's the license on the side of it. The license number. It is licensed. I did sign the title. It is a, it's a legit boat and all that kind of stuff. But no, there's not a clear prior designation. The guy, Tom's name. Tom even had to give me the trailer receiver. I didn't bring the trailer receiver. So anyways, I owe Tom a receiver, and Tom did not tell me that he had named the boat, but I am calling it the Jordan Love Boat. And you know what, Tom? We're gonna have a Packer camp check in a little later in this big show. We're going to have
a little angst in the locker room, Crudy. What's going on at Packer camp, dude?
Well, there is a reporter, and you know you notoriously can't trust those guys. Yeah. Reporter Adam Schein is effectively saying Jordan Love sucks. It's getting called out by the defensive players on the unit, and the Packer offense sucks. And I'm like, oh, man, none of this sounds very good to me. I was about to name my boat the Jordan Love Boat. And so we're gonna get it. We're going to hear it from our guy. We're going to hear it from Mike Clemens, our Civic Media Packer beat reporter. He's been in camp the whole season, Dom. We're going to find out if this one little trash-talking two-minute drill, if that's meaningful, if this is signs of things to come, Dom, because I don't know if you know. But Civic Media, we got the Packers, three different markets. I started my day, Park Falls, Wisconsin. Beautiful Park Falls. Q, 98Q. Exciting. See this? They got super cool stuff in Park Falls. Beautiful northern Wisconsin town. Looking, it's an hour from UP and the dispensary is there. But anyways, Park Falls, nice little town. Spent the night there last night. Listen to 98Q. It's our newest Packer station in the Northwoods. 100,000 watts of Packers, huh? And this Friday night, the reign of Jordan Love begins. And it all starts with this boat. So I'm hoping the Love Boat, the Jordan Love Boat, is the sign of a Super Bowl season to come, Dom, and not sort of a Titanic blunder on somebody's part. Good money sunk in a lake. You never can tell. And perhaps political headlines as well. This is the Devil's Advocates. We'll give you a Packer update and whatever you want to talk about, Dom. Now it's your turn. Hope you had a great weekend. Come back with us.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303.
Mandy Roberts proudly serves the central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifeman.com/disclosure.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to Hot Gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today with an isolated thunderstorm possible this afternoon, a high near 85. Mostly clear tonight, 59. Sunshine, 86 for Tuesday. Tuesday night, clear, 62. Some showers and storms possible for Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny and 85. Right now, it's 82.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic point aboard this tiny ship.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us on the lines, politics, voting, you know, Packers, whatever's on your mind, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm already getting advice as a first-time boat owner.
Yeah.
Couple of thoughts on the text line. Early texters, they're the early innovators. Many of you, I believe, have the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can text us directly. It goes right to my phone that way. Okay, boys. You know, Jeff from Sherwood. A little pep talk for the Monday
yeah.
show.
All right, here we go.
Okay, boys. It's a new week. Let's get off on the proper foot. Oh, no. We're talking about boats the whole first segment. My bad, Jeff. But I had two things for you. Looks like you've taken care of one item. The second thing is to be great this week. Be great this week. And he didn't like the fact that we were off Friday. Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah.
Summer got in the way, man. Had to go up to the Northwoods there. Hey,
make radio great again, Jeff.
Here's another one. Left is port. Right is starboard. Well, Dom, I would say this show's a little to port of center.
Port. I love port.
Different sort of port, I suspect. Another one says, Mark from the SAC, make sure you register it as a private sale. Do go wild on the WDNR website. Well, if that's an option, I'm doing the go wild on everything, Dom. I love the go wild option. Here's another one. You know, I called it the Jordan Love boat, Crudy's little 16-foot motorboat, fiberglass, going to have to repaint it just so my wife's not embarrassed by it. Something tells me you'll be changing the name of the boat in no time.
Yeah.
Apparently, they don't like the Jordan Love boat. And here's another one. Make sure you put the drain plug back in.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Excellent advice.
You need to get Sailor Matt Flynn out there. Yeah, get a Navy guy on that boat. Never ask a Navy guy if you'll have another drink, Don.
It's none of your business how many he's already had.
Now,
844-967-2789. Hang on, Carl. This crew has more to say.
I want to talk about a drunken Navy guy. Derek Van Orden, congressman from the great state of Wisconsin. Now, there's an editorial piece. Apparently, he's inspiring editorials these days, Dom. It's his conduct. And there are allegations tied to, let's say, some profanity drinking at the office with some constituents on the Capitol Hill, but the congressman from the third
Wisconsin. CD. He's just being Wisconsin nice. That's what the conservatives are all suggesting.
Well, let's see what Dave Zweifel has to say over at the Cap Times. Here it is, Dom. Ron Johnson has competition for the biggest idiot prize.
I gotta be honest, Dave, you're spot on with this one.
Well, I was gonna say so does CJ for D-bag of the year 2023, Dom. I would put Van Orden in the early lead, but you could still nominate and vote for CJ.
There's plenty of time between now and the end of the year for, you know, any D-bag to step up and really claim that prize. There's a lot of room left.
In a column last month, Zweifel says, I repeated former GOP U.S. Rep. Liz Cheney's contention that what we've done in our politics is create a situation where we're electing idiots. Yeah, we make that contention often on this show, Dom. I agreed, says Zweifel, and suggested that our own U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was just such an example, especially over his views about the climate crisis and how Wisconsin could stand to benefit as the world gets warmer, Dom. We'll be vacation land forever. But that was before another of our mentally challenged elected officials took center stage. So Weefel's words, not mine, I didn't call him mentally challenged. Our editorial about Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's new 3rd District representative, says it all. His outburst of cursing and obscenities at a bunch of high school Senate pages in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda is proof positive that this guy hasn't the smarts to represent a Wisconsin congressional district. It's a pity because the 3rd District, anchored by the city of La Crosse, Dom and I are fine alums of the university there, has a long history of sending competent and thoughtful people to talk radio and to Washington. Yeah. Now, Van Orden's immediate predecessor, Democrat Ron Kind, was a respected and productive member of Congress, a revered La Crosse Logan High School athlete who went to Harvard, where he quarterbacked the football team before coming home to run for Congress. He was sort of the all-American boy. He became the district attorney and married the prettiest girl in town, Dom. That Ron Kind planted a lot of seed corn in that one.
He sure did.
And before him was Republican Steve Gunderson, who made his district proud over his willingness to cross the aisle when it mattered and work hard to keep the wheels of government running. We had our editorial differences with both of them, but never once doubted their dedication to the job they've been elected to do.
Rudy Zweifel goes on to write, the question is how Van Orden was elected in the first place. There have been numerous incidents that should have told voters that this is a guy who has trouble controlling himself. There was the public display of distemper when he lashed out at a high school girl volunteering at the local library because he didn't like the books she was stacking. His temper tantrums have been common knowledge in the district. He had the audacity to accuse young pages of defiling the integrity of the U.S. Capitol. The kids were lying on the floor to take pictures of the rotunda's dome high above them when the Senate session droned on into the night. That he would accuse young people serving internships for U.S. senators of defiling the Capitol's integrity while he himself, only 2 years before, was in the crowd of Donald Trump supporters who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021 is beyond the pale. Yes, as Liz Cheney claims, we do elect idiots for office. Derek Van Orden is proof of that. Dave Zweifel at the Cap Times. Thank you, Dave. I agree.
Never ask a Navy man if he's had enough to drink, Dom. He'll let you know. It'll start with some profanities, a little salty language. Derek Van Orden, you are a bit of an embarrassment, sir. Do better. Do better.
He can't do better. He's not capable of doing better. These megas, they're unserious people. They cannot do it. They need to be replaced. Plus, we're on the Devil's Advocates coming back with your calls at 844-967-2789.
Well done, little buddy.
Sure to get a smile from 7 stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Most of the East Coast could be impacted by severe storms tonight. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
There is now a level 4 out of 5 on our severe weather index for the rest of the night, particularly in portions of Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, on into southeastern Pennsylvania. That's the most concentrated area with a decently good risk of tornadoes there.
Folks in D.C. are being urged not to travel if they don't have to. Former Minneapolis officer Tu Tao says there is no guilt for killing George Floyd despite getting about 5 years added to his prison sentence today.
I have prayed for everyone here. Judge, I've prayed for you. Me and my wife has prayed for you. If there's anything I can pray for, you'll know where to find me.
Exorcist director William Friedkin has died at 87.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
His other big film was The French Connection. He won an Oscar for it in 1972. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. This morning, hearings begin as a Chippewa County judge will decide whether the lone suspect in last year's murder of 10-year-old Lily Peters will be tried as an adult or if the case will be moved to juvenile court. A 15-year-old boy is charged with homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence if he's convicted, as well as 2 counts of sexual assault. Judge Stephen Gibbs ruled last month that autopsy photos and videos would be sealed, but did not decide whether prosecutors would be limited only to information in the criminal complaint filed with the charges. Peters was found dead in the woods near her home on April 25, 2022. Hearings are scheduled to go into next week in the case. The bodies of 2 people were recovered in Barron County by officials after a man's body was seen in the water near a running pontoon Friday afternoon in Pekegama Lake near Chetek. The sheriff's office said the bodies of 59-year-old Scott Brumman of Chippewa Falls and 59-year-old Doug Robinson of Chetek were found about 5 hours apart. The Wisconsin DNR is investigating. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Imagine, it's the last ride, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are taking you for a ride. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about treating it with Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scale of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess. Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Radio show. It's back to work. It's Monday, right, Dom?
Yeah, are we working as I was having it right now?
Do you know, I started my day in the rough grouse capital of the world, Park Falls, Wisconsin. That's up north there, hey. That's up by the UP. That's where I started my day, Dom. Up there in vacation land.
Go grouse hunting, man. It's a thing.
I'm sure someone enjoys that.
See, you got a boat now, man. Next thing you know, you're going to be going grouse hunting, Crudy.
You know, they had this big old Abe statue, big eagle in the downtown. Thought it was pretty cool. Took a picture of it. You know, I was taking in the local custom and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think that we missed the boat, Dom. Because you know what was this weekend in Park Falls, Wisconsin? Flamboarama, baby! The 70th anniversary of the Flamboarama. It's got the beautiful Flambeau River, although I've only seen the Northern Fork. But the Flamboarama was this weekend in the Park Falls. Bands, excitement for the kids, lots of stuff to do. Man.
Summertime in Wisconsin. It's the most beautiful place in the world, better than Minnesota.
Well, in the wintertime here, it's always better than Minnesota here, Dom. You know, there was an article at the Washington Post over the weekend. I think you put it up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Fake elector plot raised concerns over legal peril, indictment shows. Well, Dom, you and I have talked about this fake elector plot, especially the plot that was perpetrated here in that Wisconsin State Capitol, like one block from me. And I would point out that happened on December 14th of 2020. That happened like an hour after the Wisconsin Supreme Court had literally closed the last legal pathway to overturn the election here in the state of Wisconsin. And those Republicans got together. Now, our friend Patrick Marley used to be at the Journal Sentinel. Now he's at the Washington Post, along with others, Dom. A lot of bylines on this one. Well, they throw this out, and I want to get at least as far as the Wisconsin part of the story. So I'm going to start, if you don't mind, Dom. 6 weeks after the 2020 election, senior campaign officials for Donald Trump called a group of loyal Pennsylvania Republicans to walk them through how they would convene 2 days later to cast the state electoral votes for the sitting president. There was a problem. Joe Biden had already been declared the certified winner in Pennsylvania. So a number of Republicans on the December 12th conference call who had volunteered to serve as Trump electors if he won the state said they were uncomfortable betraying themselves as legitimate electors, according to a federal indictment filed against Trump last week, accusing him of trying to overturn the 2020 election. Oh, yeah, that whole thing, Dom. The campaign officials, led by lawyer Rudy Giuliani, what a fine lawyer he makes, told the electors they were meeting on a contingency basis only, the indictment says. After the call, the campaign officials circulated language to add to the Pennsylvania elector certificates to be submitted to Washington, asserting that the votes were intended to count only if Trump prevailed in litigation in the state. That'd be an interesting out clause, Tom. Might even give you some legal protection, one might say. Did they have that in the state of Wisconsin? I don't think they had that here, did they, Dom?
They did not.
Let's jump down in the body of this piece just a bit, Dom. In five other states, Republicans did not hedge. Instead, they signed paperwork claiming to be electors for the president and casting their votes for Trump, even though he had lost their states. Think Wisconsin. Electors in a seventh state, New Mexico, included contingency language similar to that in Pennsylvania. The Trump campaign then moved ahead with plans to use all the certificates to pressure Congress not to certify the Electoral College count for Biden. Now, Trump's team didn't return comment, apparently. Let's, again, jump down just a little further. Where's our pal Andrew Hitt? Do you have him, Dom? I think I'm just about there.
Let's get to Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Oh, thank you. I got it. Again, from Patrick Marley and others at the Washington Post. This posted today. You can check it out on our Facebook page. In Wisconsin, the executive director of the state Republican Party alerted his chairman, Andrew Hitt, that Giuliani was telling states not to let the media know about plans for the Republican electors to meet.
Why wouldn't you tell the media, Dom? Why wouldn't you tell the media? I mean, why not be transparent about this? This is just a backup plan, right?
Right. Well, it was in Pennsylvania. They didn't clarify here in Wisconsin. Hitt's response to the state Republican Party executive director was, quote, "These guys are up to no good and it's going to fail miserably." Yes, Andrew Hitt. And you signed it anyway. Hitt later told the committee he felt comfortable about the Republican electors meeting because a challenge was still pending in court.
Not true. It had been all challenges had gone through the Wisconsin Supreme Court more than an hour, and the ruling had been dropped more than an hour before they met to cast these false votes.
You know, I mean, when they were planning the meeting at that time, I guess, you know, it was still in litigation. And so what? I mean, what's an hour, 2 hours, a couple of days, a week? Hitt had been assured repeatedly that the Wisconsin meeting was happening only to ensure the Republican electoral vote for the state would be counted if Trump managed to win the lawsuit. He never thought of making revisions to the Wisconsin paperwork that would have made clear the Republican votes were valid only with the approval of a court. I wish we would have put that in there, he told the committee.
I bet he wishes.
Bet you do. And the conversations appear to have been particularly fraught in Pennsylvania, according to emails published by the committee. A top attorney for Pennsylvania Republicans expressed deep reservations about the plan a day before the electors met. Thomas W. King, general counsel for the state Republican Party, sent Trump campaign officials an email the day before the electors were set to meet, saying he understood the Trump electors in Pennsylvania were told they would receive, quote, indemnification by the campaign if someone gets sued or worse. They were also to receive a legal opinion by a national firm and certified to be accurate by a Pennsylvania attorney, King wrote. Instead, they got a memo from Cheese Bro, one of the six unnamed co-conspirators referred to in the indictment, in which even Cheese Bro describes the plan in Pennsylvania as dicey because state laws for the governor, because state law calls for the governor, who at the time was a Democrat, to approve any elector substitution. King made changes to the electoral paperwork to make clear the Republican electoral votes were valid only with the finding of a court order that could not be appealed. In an interview last week, King said he made those modifications after hearing concerns from electors. No one ever offered indemnification. Any document that any lawyer looks at needs to be accurate. One Pennsylvania Republican, Crudy Toll, who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the sensitive matter, said a concern of the electors was presenting yourself as fraudulent. Well, yes,
because that's criminal. That's a problem.
The person said several electors spoke to their personal attorneys about potential legal vulnerabilities. They were all doing a little research on their own background about what they'd be getting themselves into and what they'd be opening themselves up to, the Republican recalled. 3 days before the electors were to meet, Lawrence Tabas, T-A-B-A-S, the chairman of the Pennsylvania Republican Party, contacted Hitt, his counterpart in Wisconsin, to ask if the Republican electors in his state would be meeting. Hitt confirmed they would be. Hitt also told House investigators that Tabas said, well, I guess this is just all new to me. I'm not sure what's going on or why we're doing this. And I'm getting all these calls from the Trump campaign. He and six others ultimately chose not to participate in the meeting, more defectors than in any other state.
But Andrew Hitt had no such qualms, Dom. Even though he himself is a lawyer and offers political counsel, I believe, at least per his title, at Michael Best and Friedrich, one of the big firms here in the state of Wisconsin.
These guys are up to no good, and it's going to fail miserably. Where do I sign?
Line one, apparently, Dom. Line number one. One must wonder if it got some sort of asylum deal. I mean, he gave testimony before the January 6th committee, right? And he's additionally, I believe, given separate testimony to Jack Smith. At some point, I got to think Andrew Hitt's rolling over on Cheese Bro. What do you think? And probably yeah. Rudy as well.
I think the whole thing is slowly coming apart. And I would love to see some action here in the state of Wisconsin.
Dominic, in addition, this from the Washington Post piece, let's bring it to conclusion as thus. In addition, Biden electors have sued Trump electors in Wisconsin and Michigan. The civil actions, if successful, could carry stiff penalties of tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars per person. Hit them where it hurts, Dom, in the checkbook. Ooh. Republicans have bristled at the lawsuits, saying Democrats are trying to punish them for preserving their legal options. Is that what you call it? But at the time, some Republicans had suggested that the gambit would fail. See the aforementioned Andrew Hitt, chairman of the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin at the time.
Why would you want indemnification and not tell the media if there's all on the up and up? Of course, none of that, you know, makes any sense if you believe what they're saying now.
Dominic Clark, the deputy campaign manager, summed up how the plan was likely to unfold in a text message to a colleague. In Arizona, Wisconsin, Nevada, Georgia, Michigan, our slates of electors will also vote. Pennsylvania probably won't happen. They'll be called invalid and out of order, and they're probably right. Didn't stop the Wisconsin electors, though. And Ron Johnson was more than willing to personally deliver those to the vice president because somebody's staffer asked, hey, Ron, could you deliver these fraudulent documents to the vice president and try to overturn
it wasn't even described as fraudulent documents. I mean, presumably Ron Johnson
knew they
exactly
were not the real
thinking,
electoral.
Right? But when asked about it, Ron said, oh, I didn't know what it was. You didn't know? He's gonna pass along that package, you know. Don't mind the sulfur smell, just pass it along. It's all good, Ron. He doesn't know anything. I'm just, you know, doing what somebody asked me to do, Ron Johnson. Yeah, you're a bag man now, Ron Johnson. That's your role? Come on. Yeah, I don't believe that for a minute.
844-967-2789. Mark from the sack with lots of voting advice and political thoughts as well, I suspect. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Doing okay, and good luck on your new boat. Make sure you get it registered, since it sounds like you did a private sale.
But, well, I do like I did in college. You know, if it doesn't sink in the first 3-4 months, then I go tell the state about it.
Yeah, you can go, it's pretty idea. Easy. You can do it online. It's pretty simple. It's the more and more you hear about the fake electors thing, you wonder how deep this plot went. As I've suggested on other of programs on your fine network, that I wonder if our Supreme Court conservatives were actually aware of what was going on and were, you know, ready to run cover. You know,
three of them certainly were, all excepting Hagedorn. They were all down to overturn the outcome of the election. It was a 4-3 vote. It was just the swing Hagedorn that prevented electoral chaos and a constitutional crisis care of Wisconsin.
And I think Hagedorn actually sold his integrity here. But I'd be interested if I was the prosecutor in that particular case. I'd be subpoenaing the Supreme Court justices and say, what did you know and when did you know it? Because, I mean, that happened on the same day for goodness sake, and it just gets smellier every time you hear about what was going on here. I mean, it just is. It's getting. Sounding worse and worse, and with the governor's call today for Josh Call to do something, hopefully action will start here in the state of Wisconsin.
I saw that.
It would be nice. Consequences. Governor Evers suggests there should be consequences for the fraudulent electors. Yes, I concur. Imagine if you knew someone in law enforcement or like an attorney general or someone like that, that you could, I don't know, pick up the phone and call. Is that proper? I don't know. Is something happening? What's happening, Josh Call? What's going on? These guys are fraudulent. They knew what they were doing was wrong and they did it anyway.
You know, you getting all political. I want to compare boat stories with Mark. Apparently he knows something about a boat. He did recommend that I put the plug back in the boat. Now, it seems illogical to me that you can, like, pull a plug and, you know, like a boat needs a plug. But apparently it does. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Did I mention I got a boat? We'll be right back. Anything is possible.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try.
try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep Fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 50s. Sunshine warmer in mid-80s tomorrow. Slight storm chance Wednesday, highs again mid-80s. On Thursday, back into sunshine, highs in the low 80s. A better chance of showers and storms Thursday night into Friday. Right now it's 80.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
So I'd like to know when you got the notion.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open, going back to the lines soon at 844-967-2789. Crudy got a boat. Crudy, let me, if I may, just offer some suggestion for the boat. If you've seen any
more yacht rock
over the weekend, always more yacht rock. Montgomery, Alabama, looked like a couple of, let's call them what I would perceive to be drunken white racist dudes, tried to park their pontoon where a riverboat would normally park. And then they didn't like being told by the dock worker that they had to move their boat. And looks like, according to the video, they took exception to that and ganged up and started beating up on the African-American dock worker, a bunch of white dudes. Well, then a bunch of black people came out and started defending him, and a brawl ensued. So listen to the dock workers and don't be racist. Not that you are, but, you know, here's your boating advice. You know, 7 o'clock at night after being on the water all day drinking, just listen to the dock worker. Be nice. Everyone's just trying to do their job and keep everybody safe. 844-967-2789. Let's get to the lines. Ross, I'm sorry, Dick from Madison, you are first. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, and all this thing, last Friday's New York Times, there's a picture, a big one of Trump with his umbrella walking along. And you know how he's embraced this idea of being indicted? It suddenly came to me, what an awesome, if he had any sense of humor, he could have said, I'm singing after my indictment, my arraignment. What a glorious feeling I'm having. I'm indicted for the
singing
third
in the
time,
rain, man.
Third time. Yes, it's the first thing that came to my mind is, but he's nowhere near as talented as obviously Gene Kelly. But wouldn't it have been nice if he would have broke into, I'm singing after my arraignment.
Yeah. I'm singing after the arraignment. Yeah, yes. He doesn't have that kind of style, though, man.
No, not at all. He's got this skull on his face, the umbrella on, it's raining. And why wouldn't you go that route? He supposedly thinks this is a good thing.
Well, of course, he doesn't believe that, Dick. He knows this is a bad thing. Everybody involved in this knows this is a bad thing. I mean, when you're facing 70-plus, you know, federal charges, given the, you know, success rate of the federal government when they charge federal charges, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and given the age, and you know, even if one of those stick, Dick, you know, it's damn near a life sentence
he's
for the man.
It's a life sentence. Exactly.
Yeah.
An absolute life sentence. But, you know, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
The guy has no sense of humor whatsoever, never has, no self-deprecating. I mean, not that you would at this point, I guess, but the first thing that came to my mind when I seen that was that song from Singing in the Rain.
What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. Thanks for the call, Dick. 844-967-2789. Ross, you are next. Happy Monday, Ross. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ross.
Hey, you guys. So I'm following up with Derek Van Orden, my representative over here in Crawford County, the 3rd District. You know, here he is. He's screaming at all these young guys. And you think, well, young kids, teenagers, yeah, here in Gage Mills, I think it was, and then over in at the Washington, D.C., in the Capitol. And here's a guy 27 years in the military. Now, one of the things that, Cooter, you might remember in the military, it's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But and you think, well, why is Van Orden, like, that, where did his manners go? Well, it's because he was a SEAL team member. And these guys think that they're like the best of the best. And so, you know, so he's not going to apologize because he's never wrong. But he likes to brag. He likes to brag about all this work that he's already gotten accomplished since he's been a congressman. And, you know, and I'm thinking, like, okay, he's got a bunch of, he cleaned up the office. There might be some little office stuff that he's kind of doing. But what has he actually accomplished? He voted against he voted for a health care bill, a defense health care bill that took women, you know, soldiers and sailors and such, their right to choose. He took that, he voted to take that away from them. So here's this guy, 27 years as a SEAL team member, has his super high opinion of himself, yelling at young kids, and wants to brag about all he's done for veterans. But what has he done? Trying to take the rights away from women veterans.
Yeah, Ross. I mean, that's the practical reality of it. I mean, the embarrassment that he is in the state of Wisconsin as he represents us across the country is hard to deal with. Ross, I mean, we talked about Dave Zweifel, his opinion piece that we referenced earlier. I mean, how did this guy get elected, Ross? I mean, from UC, and do you think he has a chance of being reelected?
I think he's really hurt himself. I think in our district, you know, we have La Crosse, Eau Claire, and some other communities where I think women may come out to vote. I think he got voted in because he has some history. You know, he sort of plays the I'm a veteran, and so therefore everybody needs to sort of bow on bended knee to me because I'm a veteran. So he sort of gets that card, and I think he sort of has this, well, that's kind of, I think, the main thing. I think his attitudes, though, he's kind of a supposed religious conservative. Plus, I think the insurrection, his presence in the insurrection, I do not think is going to help him. So that, along with his
apparently it didn't hurt him. The man got elected to Congress, and he also was on paper for bringing a loaded handgun on an airplane on the return flight, Ross. I mean, we just got to get the word out about this guy, right? We just got to get the word out.
I think that's what it is. I think that's it. I think that there needs to be more information. I think there's going to be a lot of money with Rebecca Cook, who's running against him. I think there's going to be some money out there, and I think people are going to find out about this guy, and it's going to seem like they're seeing him for the first time.
I hope you're right, Ross. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling, man. Keep the word going out there. Catherine from Madison, you'll have the last word this segment. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi. I just have a real quick note to tell you. I really wanted to reach Josh Call because he's waiting so long. And so I Googled him. If you just Google Josh Call, Attorney General of Wisconsin, you get his page. At the bottom of the page, you can write him a note. Cool. It takes like 2 seconds. So I just suggest everybody does that. If everybody did that, maybe we get some action.
Did you do it, Catherine? When, what was your note? Were you nice about it?
I was polite, but I said, it's time. You got to do this. I mean, come on. You know, I mentioned that they were already doing it in Michigan, and why not us? You know?
Well, Catherine, if he didn't notice your polite note, he should notice the governor of the state of Wisconsin making the same avocation over the weekend. Although
yeah,
I missed that.
We've got to join his short voice and send these notes to Josh Call. We really need to write to him.
Yes, ma'am. Excellent. Excellent suggestion. But I missed it because I was on a boat. Come back with us.
You and Cartman?
more yacht rock. Number two, you made him do this. You said always more yacht rock. That's what we're playing for you now. Come back to happier with the Monday edition. Back to work. Cooney's back from up north there, hey. And your calls could be next. 844-967.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original Cream Puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.